I've been asking a lot of pastor friends out there, why isn't anybody talking about the ascension? I've emailed guys, I texted guys, and talked to guys on the phone, and they say, well, we really don't know. And so, boy, it's exciting to see Dr. Ann Gotti on Twitter, isn't it? I'm sure glad you're doing that than the drilling teeth, okay? Cheers me up when I see you. You know that. Anyhow, we love you. So what I decided to do with technology, I punched in YouTube. I punched in Ascension and saw some messages coming up. So I've been listening and watching some messages on the Ascension. And the other day, a couple of days ago, one came up from the Dallas Seminary, former president. And I texted him yesterday. I said, hey, would you send me your notes? And about 6 o'clock this morning, I got all his notes on the Ascension, which I can't use, but it's just wonderful. The Bible tells us, 40 days after our Lord's glorious resurrection, before his watching disciples, our Lord Jesus returned to heaven for his coronation, exaltation, post-resurrection glorification. It was an amazing homecoming celebration that we hardly ever talk about. The Son of God has returned home victoriously, having permanently conquered death, sin, and Satan. And right now, you know this, he's seated at the right hand of God, right now ruling the universe. We call this day Ascension Day. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11, to review just a little bit. Luke tells us, and when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking up, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, can you imagine? I mean, they expected other things to go on there. As they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, angels, and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That's the promise. That's the hope. That's forgotten. It's neglected, probably due to either ignorance or spiritual blindness, or maybe both. And for the last really several years, I have for some reason have a very intense interest in this neglected topic, and I'm perplexed how I've neglected it so much. You know, you read about the Ascension, you read all the passages, but for some reason, I haven't latched onto it. And I believe if we just begin to understand the truth behind the glorification of Christ, the Ascension, our Christian life can be transformed like never before. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Speaking about Christ and mentioning his ascension, the author of Hebrews says, He, Christ Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's right now. After making purification for sin, that's the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That is the ascension. And I believe that should be taught, embraced, and celebrated by us who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we looked at four results or truths behind the ascension. They're listed for you on the little outline. This morning, I want to look at four more results to demonstrate our main point and help us grow in the appreciation of the ascension. You know, Mike just mentioned some of the things he was reading about and learning going on in the church today, which are just, you know, I don't even want to say some of those things out loud, Mike. They're so bad. What's going on in the household of faith? And, you know, perhaps the Spirit of God is cleaning up his house like never before. But we seem to be living in dark days. And I believe the doctrine of the ascension will help get us through these dark days like nothing else. You know, last Sunday evening, I went up to the Great Bible Baptist. I love going up to the Great Bible Baptist. Dr. David Gibbs was preaching. He is the president, head of the Christian Law Association, and I wanted to talk to him after the service. So I hung around, and he's a big... Anyone know Dr. Gibbs? Anyone seen him? Seen him recently? He's a big man, and he got even bigger. I don't know how he does it, but he's a big man. So he was just sitting on a platform, and I went up to him after the service, and I had some questions, and he was very, very gracious in talking to me. He handles all the religious lawsuits out there. And there's a lot of stuff he can't talk about or won't talk about. And it's amazing how dark it's getting out there. It's really getting dark. In fact, we seem to be losing the moral battle, even in the church. It's amazing what's going on in the church, as Mike mentioned. I don't have to tell you these things. The economy is out of control, and I don't get this, but the government keeps giving money away. How do they do that? They just give. Wouldn't you like to have some of that money that gets given away? I just like just a little bit of it. I could buy more calfskin Bibles or something like that, you know? World leaders are increasingly pushing for globalism. A buddy of mine in Jersey who never sends me anything to look at sent me this little thing to watch and talked about the economic world leaders getting together. They continue to get together, and they have an agenda, and it is coming to fruition. Jesus is letting that happen. Globally, it is amazing. You think Hitler's coming to power again? I don't know. The leader of the free world, that's President Biden. He has no sympathy for biblical worldview whatsoever. And I don't know why the Catholic Church doesn't throw him out. And I shouldn't say that out loud. Many of us, if not all of us, have lost complete control, complete confidence, rather, in the media. In fact, I started listening to the Rick and Bubba show. Anyone know the Rick and Bubba show? You guys know that down south? We'll talk about Rick and Bubba more another time. They're just wonderful. This last week, I got an email from a major Christian publisher that offers us discounts on all kind of Greek and Hebrew tools. They're promoting Pride Month with dark books. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And the pressure to cave upon churches has never been stronger, and I believe it's going to get stronger as we get closer to the end of the nation. So for me, for you, I believe getting a grip on Christ's ascension, his glorification, is so important to build up our spiritual immune system. I need this. If you don't need this, I need this, okay? Let's drop down to the fifth bullet point, okay? That's where I'm going this morning. Going to go through several verses, and I love this topic. Fifth bullet point. The Word of God teaches that the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is vital. This signals the transition and launching of a global mission with a crystallized core message. That's the gospel of grace. The ascension signals the transition and launching of a global mission with a crystallized core message. That's the gospel of grace. Or the ascension signifies the passing of gospel responsibility from the Lord Jesus to his disciples and right now to you and I. Go to Luke chapter 24. Bring your Bibles to church. Luke chapter 24. 44 through 49. You know, before the ascension, they were talking about the kingdom. After the ascension, they're going to talk about the resurrected Christ. They're going to talk about the cross. Luke chapter 24, 44 through 49. Let's work through this for a moment or so. In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, Jesus made it clear to his disciples that he is the central topic of the Old Testament. And would not you like to be around for this conversation? Verse 44, then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Wouldn't you love having the Lord Jesus walk you through the Old Testament and show you things you've never seen or imagined before? That must have been glorious. Well, we have that in the New Testament, do we not? As the apostles elaborated on that. In Luke 45, Luke chapter 24, verse 45, we read this. The light's going to come on. Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures before they missed it, before they couldn't see, before Jesus would tell them wonderful truths and they would even argue with them. The word open here, remember this is written by Dr. Luke, it's a wonderful medical term. It refers to opening up the womb. Jesus opens their eyes. He opens their ears. He takes them from spiritual blindness to supernatural understanding. And we're going to get that as well. And then he gives them the message in verse 46 and 47. He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah, Christ, should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And here it is, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Dr. Mark Bailey wrote this. He said, "Repentance includes responding to the grace and mercy of God by recognizing there is no way we can save ourselves, and instead by faith relying solely on Christ, who alone is God's gracious provision, turning from myself, abandoning myself, and fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ." That's the message. That's the crystallized message. And then in verse 48, Jesus gives the disciples their roles. He said, "Now you are witnesses of these things." What's Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then we read from Luke 24 verse 49, Jesus said, "Behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The ascension tells us that the mission and the message have not changed. And the ascension truth mandates that you and I keep the message Christ-focused, Christ-centered. I appreciate Dr. Ann Gotti getting out there with Bible verses. We are to stick to the mission. No matter how dark this nation gets, we can't budge. We cannot budge. The mission, the message need to stay the same. And you know what? I think hard days can help us focus. How many are watching the grocery prices go up? I say it out loud sometimes. Did I tell you that? I go shopping at one particular store all the time. And sometimes I just say it out loud. You know, "Yo, what's going on here?" And I went to the manager the other day and said, "Hey, are the prices going up every day?" And he said, "There's no end in sight. There's no end in sight." You know what that causes us to do? We can't eat cheap anymore. You can't eat cheap anymore. You can't do that because there's nothing cheap in the store. When I go to the store, I'm very selective at what I buy because I can't buy all the junk stuff I used to be able to buy. And when you come under pressure, when the church comes under pressure, it's going to cause us to crystallize what's important and what isn't important. Part of the blessings of COVID, and you can say, "What do you mean part of the blessings of COVID?" There are some good things, because God says, God, the Lord, causes all things to work together for our good, right? Who are in Christ Jesus, who are chosen in him. Part of the good thing, one of the good things that came from COVID is COVID caused us to rethink what's important and what's really not important when it comes to the ministry of the church. Let me give you a sixth point this morning, all right? Number six on your notes. We celebrate when we look at the ascension, and you know this because we've talked about this before, the ascension, glorification of Christ, signaled our Lord's sending of the Holy Spirit. If the Lord Jesus didn't go to heaven, he would not have sent the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit. We don't appreciate the Spirit like we should, but the Lord's ascension signaled his sending of the Holy Spirit. And the coming of the Holy Spirit is a totally new, fresh, and necessary uniqueness to this age. I was at an ordination examination a week or so ago. It was great. 3 hours down southern York County. And I asked the candidate, and he did well. I said, "How do you handle Old Testament scriptures? How do you interpret that?" And we talked about that a little bit. But when we look at the ascension, you and I are reminded that right now, because what Christ did and is doing, we are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. We call it the church age. We call it the age of grace. I like to call it the age of the ascension. That's the age in which we are living in. Christ ascended to the throne. Go to John chapter 14. This is good stuff. And you know these verses, but it's always good to hear them. Always good to hear them. How many believe it's good to hear the same verses again and again and again? You believe that? I wasn't going to say this, but I will because he's here. You know, if you pay, here it comes. If you pay $400 to go hear Paul McCartney, I was with a young man the other night, and he's working on a seminar to present on pornography for us on the Sunday school session. And he's going to, you know, tastefully enlighten us about what that does to your brain, because a lot of people have no clue what's going on out there. We need to talk about that. And he was telling me, Tim, what he pays to go to these hockey games. And for the price of some of these hockey tickets, I could buy a goatskin blue leather edition of the Bible. If I pay, and I'm not going to pay, okay, I'm not going to pay treasure, I don't do this. But if I would pay $400 to hear Paul McCartney, how many know who Paul McCartney is? How many know that name? John, Paul, George, and unfortunately, okay. We don't know the Bible, but we know that. If I would pay $400 to go listen to Paul McCartney sing, where he's all over the place, it is amazing. I would be very, very disappointed if I didn't hear him sing what song? No, no, no. She was just 17, you know that whole thing. And so we want to go. In fact, one of the lead singers of Chicago said, you know, every night on the road, we have to play Saturday in the Park. Because if our fans don't hear that, they get mad. But we come to Bible, we come to church, and wait, I know that, I heard that before. But we'll go to see, you know, your namesake, and we want to see, I want to hold your hand, all that, you know what I'm saying. Anyhow, let's go through this. See what happens when my wife isn't here? All right. It's her fault. It's all her fault. Wow, we just put Grandma's house up for sale, upstate New York. It's like throwing bait fishing. It's amazing how houses are selling these days. Anyhow, John 14, I'm off here. John 14, verse 12. John 14, that's why I have notes here. Stick to the script. John 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, this is quite a promise. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works, not just the disciples, every believer. Okay, you got that? Greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. What is that? That's the ascension. That is the ascension. Look, drop down to verse 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter, to be with you how long? Forever. Here it is. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, catch this here, for he dwells with you, and he will be where? That's going to change when? The ascension, and then on the day of what? Pentecost. Look at John 16, verse number 7. And these are really important chapters, but I'm just skipping around here. John 16, verse 7. Jesus says this to his disciples, and they didn't want him to go. You know that. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And I believe they were sitting there saying, no, it's not. No, it's not. He said, yes, it is. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, could not come until the Father was glorified, the Son ascended, sending the Holy Spirit. There's an order in the Trinity. So because of what Christ did, Right now, we have, right now this morning, we have the gifts of the Spirit. When you trust Christ as Savior, you have the sealing of the Spirit. You can experience the filling of the Spirit. You can experience spiritual illumination by the Bible, because the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and just brings it to our mind and our heart. That's what we were talking about from Ephesians this morning. We have the responsibility not to lie, quench, grieve the Holy Spirit. You and I right now have the privilege of praying in the Holy Spirit. We have the privilege of walking by means of the Spirit, being anointed by the Spirit, being enabled by the Holy Spirit. And we have the responsibility to function as the very dwelling place of God, because the Holy Spirit indwells us. And look at this one fascinating Bible verse that most commentators do not know what to do with. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Luke has a little different slant on the disciples' prayer. A little different from Matthew. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And I've consulted, I think, some of the most trusted guys who comment on Luke. And they say, this is for us. This is for us. Luke 11, 13 is for us today, right now. Jesus says here, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And you say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 Dr. Luke, don't you know? Didn't you write that after the day of Pentecost, God already gave us the Spirit?" He did. He's in us. But we're still praying for the Spirit's ministry in our life, in our work. That's a good thing. There's a huge difference. A huge difference. Be careful when reading your Bible. I'll say this again this morning. Be careful. There's a huge difference between the pre- and post-ascension ministry of the Holy Spirit. Things radically changed after the ascension, after the day of Pentecost. Number seven. The ascension signaled the beginning of Christ's heavenly session or ministry for us. The ascension signaled the beginning of Christ's heavenly session for us, His ministry. And this encourages us to pray with confidence and with boldness. Two chapters, some verses here. Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 7. Very familiar verses, but we will read them to you nonetheless. Hebrews chapter 4, 14, 15, and 16. Hebrews chapter 4, 14. "Since we have a great high priest," that's Jesus, "who has passed through the heavens," that's at the ascension, "Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us hold with confidence. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 through 26, we read this: "But He," Jesus, "holds His priesthood permanently, because He continues. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." That's us. "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners," and here it is, "exalted above the heavens." That's the ascension. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we now have access to the very presence of God. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. I think we forget sometimes, unless we're reading through the Old Testament, that, and I'm glad those days are over, the Old Testament priestly work was a major operation, was it not? When you read all the details and all the specifics, it was very, very messy. Never, never complete. But Christ completed it once for all. And the ascension reminds us of that. Number eight. The ascension, and I want you to go to Ephesians 4 for this one. The ascension resulted in the gracious giving of spiritual gifts. The ascension resulted in the gracious giving of spiritual gifts. They were not given until the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is amazing, and I don't think we appreciate this as much, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says here, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, every believer. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, that's at 40 days after the resurrection, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He went to heaven victoriously. And like a conquering general, a military leader would come back to his own city with all kind of captives and give them out, all kind of gifts and give them away. Jesus did that. It said in verse 9, I'm saying he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also descended to the lower regions of the earth. Verse 10, he who descended is the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And here it is, verse 11. He gave, here's some of the gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Gifted men. And you and I are blessed by gifted men that the ascended Christ has given the church, more than we could ever list. Some have gone to heaven, some are alive today. We're studying the Puritans in the second hour, and what a treasure of gifted men God has given to the church. I am blessed by men like John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul, and now Rick Burgess of Rick and Bubba, and Mark Bailey, and there's local pastors and missionaries, and we had Jamie Mitchell here, and there's Pastor Zach, and the list goes on and on and on and on of gifts that God has given to the church through the ascended Christ. I won't read the verse here, but in 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 and 11, Peter tells us that God has given every believer a supernatural gift for ministry that came about as the ascension. Wow. Number 9, and we need to hear this one today. You know this one, the ascension. The ascension signifies a, write this down, solid guarantee, solid guarantee of the Lord's return, the second coming. The ascension signifies a solid guarantee of the Lord's return, the second coming. Jesus says this to the high priest, and most of us don't catch the ascension here. In Mark chapter 14, verse 62, Jesus said to the priest, Jesus said, I am, when asked if he's the Son of God, if he's the Christ, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, that's the ascension, and coming with the clouds of heaven. That's when every knee will bow. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we read this a few moments ago. The angel said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. How did he go into heaven? How did he go into heaven? Well, he went bodily, visibly, crowds will see, ultimate glory. He's coming the same way. He's coming the same way. And right now, I believe that Jesus is seated at the right hand by the Father, waiting for what to happen. Father, say go. Now. And when God the Father gives a signal, and perhaps when the last of the elect of the church come to Christ. And that's why Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, we can hasten the coming of the Lord by getting involved in evangelism and missions. And the more we get, when the last elect person comes in, I believe the Father's going to look at the Son and say, go, now. Until that time, the church is being built. And right now, in the meanwhile, by the way, and I know we said this before, but you know what our Lord Jesus' number one concern is as he's at the right hand of the Father? What's his number one concern, number one priority? I don't think we get this. What's the number one concern of the Son of God? Number one concern, number one priority, number one affection. You, the church, the bride. I mean, he's not concerned with the swamp. He's not concerned about draining the swamp. David gives us, tell me, you have no idea how bad it is in the swamp. Even on both sides of the fence, it's just bad. It's really bad. The Lord's not concerned about that. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about his sheep, his flock, his bride. He's concerned about presenting a pure bride to the Father. He's there to intercede on our behalf. That's major. That is worth celebrating. One more point this morning, number 10, and I'd like to develop this some other time, or I'd really like to see somebody who's a good writer to write about this, but I believe when we look at the ascension, the glorification of Christ, provides us with a new and unique Bible reading grid or filter. I believe the entire Bible needs to be read with the ascension in mind from that perspective. The age of the Spirit, the present rule of Christ, the mission and message of the church, a grid, a filter, seeing it. Old Testament, New Testament, in light of what Christ is doing right now. One of the great pastors of the church, one of the great gifted men, and you will not appreciate him until you start reading the messages he left for us. John Calvin said, the present task of the church is to make the invisible reign of Christ visible. You hear that? Our job, the present task of the church, is to make the invisible reign of Christ visible by our fidelity, that's our faithfulness in obeying the Word of God, our celebrations, our joy. And I'd like you to turn to, and it's I gave you the wrong reference on your notes, it should be Colossians 3. Look at this as we close this morning, Colossians 3. First four verses, I read them to you before, but look at these again, Colossians 3. I want to send you out with these in mind. Because the ascension determines our focus. The ascension determines our focus. Your notes say Colossians 1. It should be Colossians 3, 1 to 4. It says this, and it's a note of certainty, by the way, in verse 1 of chapter 3, Colossians. It should be, since then you have been raised with Christ. Speaking to believers, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's ascension. That's glorification. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Oh, it's so easy to be earthbound, is it not? It's so easy to go there all the time. For you have died, verse 3. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. If Pride Month can be celebrated by the world and it's so disappointing, why can't we get excited about the exaltation of Jesus Christ? Why can't we celebrate Ascension Day, Pentecost Sunday, all these other wonderful events in the life of our Lord, in the life of the church? There's something far greater to get excited about than what everyone else is talking about. And you and I need to fight, according to Colossians 3, that perspective. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father, we need your Holy Spirit to take the truth, the reality of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, seated at your right hand. We need the Holy Spirit to open up our minds, open up our hearts, so that we not only have greater understanding of that, a wonderful truth, but so that it grips all of us. Father, many of us here this morning are upset about what's going on here in the country, in the news, and even locally, the shooting, the gas prices, all the stuff going on. Father, take us to things above. Give us your perspective. Remind us, Lord, that we have the shepherd of our souls, our Savior, ruling, praying for us, concerned with everything and anything that goes on in our lives. And you have invited to come before your throne through him boldly with everything. Forgive us for
not taking advantage of this glorious privilege we have called prayer. May we become even a greater praying people. And folks who are focused on things above. And may that truth change the way we talk, change the way we think, change the way we live. And may we have not only affection, but great expectation for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And Father, we ask that if there was someone like was prayed before, if someone here this morning who has never placed their faith in Christ, maybe they're a religious person, otherwise they wouldn't be here. But Father, maybe they're holding on to their own good deeds. Lord, help them to abandon those things and to flee to the exalted Christ while there's time to receive forgiveness, to receive everlasting life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.